Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, musicians, bringing us into the presence of God, our God, that the Word says it is impossible. Nothing is impossible to Him, and it's impossible for Him to do nothing. Thank you, Jesus. Tonight, we are going to continue in this Restoration Bible Study series. In the past, we have learned about choices. If you weren't here for that, it was a very good Bible study on choices. We also had one on strongholds. The strongholds that need to be broken. Amen? And we also had one about the flesh against the spirit. Tonight, in one more Bible study, and that series is called Let Your Conscience Be Your Guide, where we're going to be talking about conscience. It might be a word of reminder to many of you, and some very, very practical instructions to some. Right? Would you pray with me? Lord Jesus, thank you again for an opportunity to learn from you, God. Lord, I ask you to speak through me, oh Lord Jesus. Anoint my words, God, that someone may be touched, that someone may be motivated, that someone hear your voice, oh Lord, through their conscience. Thank you, Jesus, for conscience. Thank you, Lord. We pray all these things in your name, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. You may be seated. Thank you, Jesus. Conscience is very important. Somebody say conscience. Conscience. That little voice that tells us that something is wrong. Sometimes we take it for granted that we have a voice like that tells us. And sometimes it's very, very common to us, and sometimes it's, for some people, it is very elusive. They don't know that they should listen to their conscience, or that's not their first instinct to do what is right or not do something wrong. And we're going to talk about a little bit that of tonight. Easton's Bible Dictionary defines conscience as a faculty of the mind inborn sense of right and wrong by which we judge the moral character of human conduct. It is common to all men. Word Book Dictionary defines conscience as, one, motivation deriving logically from ethical or moral principles that govern a person's thought and actions. Two, conformity to one's own sense of right conduct. And three, a feeling of shame when you do something immoral. A reference to that is Acts 24:16, where Paul, I believe it was Paul, said, "And herein do I exercise myself to have always a conscience void of offense toward God and toward men." The scripture teaches us that conscience void of offense is to be sought after and cultivated. This is a Bible study that's written out. And throughout this Bible study, I'm going to insert some of my own experiences and part of my testimony to help convey a point, if that's all right. Thank you again, Pastor, for allowing me to speak and to deliver the mail on your route today. Hebrews 9:14 says, "How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offer himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God." Here, the writer of Hebrews is comparing the bulls and lamb sacrifices that they did in the Old Testament for sacrifice of sin to the precious blood of Jesus that purified our conscience. To put it mildly, to give us that clean slate. Amen? Amen? Dr. Martin Luther King said, "There comes a time when one must take a position that is neither safe, nor politic, nor popular, but he must take it because conscience tells him it is right. Our conscience will often come in conflict with majority opinion. Our conscience may come in conflict with peer pressure, so-called cultural norms, political correctness, and laws and/or rules. Have anybody ever been in situations like that, where everybody else you know was going in one direction, but something just wasn't right with you? What wasn't right with the majority decision everybody is going along with? No, I can't do that. In the Navy, they had a ceremony for everything, Pastor. When we crossed the Arctic Circle, there was a ceremony to go along with that, and along with that was a certain amount of hazing or mistreatment of service members or sailors on the ship. And it was all practical, and they thought it was in good fun, but to me, it was just immoral. It was just wrong. When they crossed the equator, same thing. Another thing went on. They call it the shellback ceremony. And it just, something just didn't sit well with me to do that. I just couldn't get it. Playing cards. Does anybody here play spades? There's a certain way you play spades. It's called cutthroat. Oh, too many of you just laugh now. I'm sorry. I can't do that. I'm sorry. I can't bring myself to gang up with you and you and you to take down that one. I don't know. It's scruples. But it's something that just doesn't sit right with me. And I'm sure you all have your own things, line that you won't cross that's against your conscience. On that note, I just want to let you know, this Bible study was written so for people who want to come, once again, start to live for God. If you know someone who has been living away from God, who has gone astray, who has what we call backslidden, and they're trying to come back, they want to come back, this series of Bible studies was written for them. All right, so it does have a certain context to it. I know I'm preaching to the crowd on Wednesday night. I'm sure all of you do listen to your conscience, but if you may know someone, if you're like me, you want to say, well, Pastor, I got a friend. Who's struggling with listening to his conscience, then this is a good Bible study for you then, if you have a friend like that. Arthur Harper Lee, the author of To Kill a Mockingbird, wrote, "The one thing that doesn't abide by the majority rule is a person's conscience. Our conscience can be, and often is, overruled, distorted, ignored, unheeded, outright rejected, and even shut down." That reminds me of a few bad movies I've watched. But it also reminds me of the state of human nature that needs salvation. If your conscience has been distorted, overruled, ignored, and/or shut down, that voice that tells a person what's right and what's wrong is gone away by external means or even your own, you need Jesus. It's time to repent, be baptized in his name, and be filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen? Amen. The Swiss psychiatrist and psychoanalyst, C.G. Jung, Carl Jung, he wrote, "Through pride, we are ever deceiving ourselves. But deep down below the surface of the average conscience, a still small voice says to us, something is out of tune." It's just wrong. I don't know what it is. I just can't do along with that. I just disagree with you. How do young people say today? I am not feeling you on that. Yeah. Oh, a few of you know about that. I just ain't feeling that. It's something in your conscience. Our conscience cannot and will not accomplish God's purpose in our life if it is, now check this out, defiled. Titus 1:15 says, unto the pure all things are pure, but to them that are defiled and unbelieving nothing is pure. But even their mind and conscience is defiled. They have a defiled conscience. Another one that cannot accomplish God's purpose in our life is if your conscience is seared. 1 Timothy 4, verses 2 says, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with the hot iron. In another version of the Bible, the ERV, it says, these people cannot see what is right and wrong. It is like their conscience has been destroyed with the hot iron. You do not want to have a defiled conscience or seared conscience or your conscience destroyed. But think about that now. Have you ever heard of defiled conscience? It's not something we say often, or seared conscience, guilty conscience, and a clear conscience. Very, very important. Have any of you ever heard someone say, oh, you're just saying that. You just did that to clear your conscience. I kind of have a problem with that when people say that. Because I personally, I like having a clear conscience. Being as old as I am and where Jesus saved me from, a clear conscience is beneficial to me. That's my best defense against being blackmailed. You can't blackmail somebody with a clear conscience. You can't use something against someone who has a clear conscience. Yes, I'm going to do my best to keep a clear conscience. As the Bible says, we should walk in our integrity, and that's having a clear conscience. Amen? Amen. This is the trait of one, having a seared conscience is the trait of one who has given themselves over to do evil. Their conscience is seared as with a hot iron. Their heart is hardened through the deceitfulness of sin to the point where to the point of no concern whatsoever. Proverbs 20:27 in the New King James Version says, the spirit of a man is the lamp of the Lord, searching all the inner depths of his heart. God created our conscience, just as he created our ability to remember, our ability to think, and to learn, to know love, to hope and experience joy and sadness. That conscience, is another part of us that helps us to identify what's right and what's wrong. Our Creator placed a conscience within us to accomplish a specific purpose. Our conscience, check this out, defines what is right and wrong. Our conscience nudges us to do what is right. Our conscience accuses us of sin. It warns us if our thinking actions are in conflict with God's law. And it protects our walk with God. In the Search for Truth Bible study, I hope many of you get to have this Bible study, get to take this Bible study. It is a great one. It's called the Search for Truth. It goes from Genesis to Revelation. It covers everything. And one of the first lessons, it says, the ways that God talked to man before there was a Bible. Right. Says he talked to him audibly. Remember, he spoke to Noah. He spoke to Adam and Eve. He spoke to Noah. He spoke to Abraham audibly. He also sent prophets to talk to them. He spoke to them through creation. Another good Bible study, how God talked through creation. He put a line. He drew lines, a line between the light and the darkness. Between land and sea, there's a line. Between male and female, there's a line that God established. Nature, creation teaches us the word of God. But the point we're talking about tonight is the third way he's always spoken to man is through our conscience. Amen? We are listening to the voice of God through our conscience. Please do not take that for granted. The Greek historian Polybus wrote, "There is no witness so dreadful, no accuser so terrible, as the conscience that dwells in the heart of every man." You know what you did is wrong. Your conscience will confirm it to you. Without a conscience, we would be unaware of the harm caused by certain actions. We couldn't even know how to do good. The conscience searches us and exposes our hidden motive. The wise man Solomon said in Proverbs, and the author used another version of the Bible, but I'll do this as best I can. "A man burdened with bloodshed will flee into a pit. Let no one help him." This is a very unique verse. Basically, the verse is saying in a sinner's conscience will either drive him into the pit of guilt that they may repent, or into the pit of hell because they refuse to repent. Right? People talk about heaven. Well, am I going to go to heaven? I've seen preachers challenged by people who have questions, and they say, "Well, am I going to heaven or hell? Am I going to go to hell?" It is a matter of conscience. The one thing that I've concluded or discovered in the Bible that I believe that can keep you out of heaven is unrepented sin. Or to refuse to repent, especially when there is time. Please listen to your conscience, because listening to your conscience will cause you to repent. Amen? Sometimes the first time we ever obeyed God is when we repented. The first time we ever answered that altar call was when our conscience moved us to do so. We heard a message and the Holy Ghost convicted us. Amen. I'm glad it did me. And I was up here in this altar. Please, when you hear that message, when you feel that angst of the Holy Ghost or a ping in your conscience, please respond to it. Listen carefully, and you will understand this verse. "Let no one help him." The writer of the proverb is actually saying it is not an act of kindness to try to deliver the sinner from the results of their actions and decisions. Why? If the person is committing sin and has a conscience that bothers him, that person will feel the guilt associated with sin. And because they feel guilty, because they feel their guilty conscience, he or she is more likely to turn to God and repent. They will turn away from sin and turn toward God. They will agree with God that the charges that are against them are just, and I need to repent. Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." Psychologists have long warned that the person who has no conscience has a serious personality disorder that is extremely difficult to treat. You know, I can think of a few people, family members and friends. And it is, you know, reading this and reading God's word, it is a sad state that they're in. It is very sad that they don't have a... But they are not beyond God's reach, amen? God can still reach the person who has no conscience. He can still touch them in a mighty way. Remember, we just talked about how God can do anything. Anything. I believe some of you maybe prayed that prayer tonight. God save my brother or my sister who will not listen to their conscience. God, help me to be led by my conscience. Help me to let my conscience be my guide tonight. And each and every day. But it is, can you imagine the the psychologist or psychiatrist sitting across from this person that they know has a seared conscience, a damaged conscience, who doesn't listen to their conscience. Can you imagine that they have literally come to maybe the end of the rope, the end of that session, the end of how they cannot help this client? He says here it is very difficult to treat. Call them up at Apostolic Lighthouse. Bring them to the All Nations Revival. Amen. Amen. Yes, he can. Most people instinctively know when they do wrong. Just because we know we are doing wrong does not mean that we will automatically respond correctly because we know we did wrong. Some people ignore the voice of their conscience. Some don't care what their conscience is telling them. Some do not fear God and are willing to risk offending him. Some do not have control over their flesh. And some say, I know it's wrong, but I really want it. Paul said, I have lived in all good conscience before God. It is a healthy conscience that reminds us that sin is wrong, that sin is displeasing to God, that sin will ultimately separate us from God. That's your conscience telling you that. Matthew 26:23 in the Amplified Version says, But if your eye is unsound, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the very light in you is darkened, how dense is that darkness? Here is the problem with ignoring the voice of your conscience. Continuing to give in to sin hardens your heart and makes finding repentance more difficult. Deliberately and continuously choosing to disobey God will sear our conscience. Each time we give in to sin, it makes it easier to give in to it the next time. That makes sense? It's sad. It says, continuing to give in to sin hardens our heart. Does anyone remember Pharaoh? Moses going to Pharaoh saying, let my people go. And Pharaoh hardened his heart. God is a couple of places in the Bible where God says, do not harden your heart against them as they did. The children of Israel also hardened their heart. It is a sad thing. We risk being separating from God and not being able to return to him. It's harder to repent if you keep ignoring your conscience. If you know someone like that, please, most we can do is pray for them, that the Holy Ghost convict them in the way that he does and touches them in a special way. One of the things, as I mentioned here, is that they have been deceived by the deceitfulness of sin. People who have backslidden and gone away from God through some type of offense or some type of event, they have believed a lie. Most of the time, they have believed something that was not true. And that lie needs to be dispelled, and they need to start listening to their conscience. Please pray for them. Please pray for them. If you know the lie that they believe, that would help. But remember, the bottom line is our conscience is what helps us to repent. Amen? Acts 24:16, Amplified Version, it says, therefore I always exercise and discipline myself, mortifying my body, dreading my carnal affections, bodily appetites, and worldly desires, endeavoring in all respects to have a clear, unshaken and blameless conscience, void of offense toward God and toward men. That's Acts 24:16. I'm sure you've probably heard this, having a clear conscience toward God and toward men. If it's all right with him, it'll be all right with them. If you're going to have a clear conscience toward him, you can try. Do your best to have a clear conscience toward them and everyone else. His two commandments. The commandments he gave him: love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. If it's all right with him, it'll be all right with them. Maintain a clear conscience, please. George Bernard Shaw is credited with telling a story that illustrates this verse. A Native American elder, I think I know him. God bless you, Pastor. God bless you. A Native American elder once described his own inner struggles in this manner. Inside of me, there are two dogs. One of the dogs is mean and evil. The other dog is good. The mean dog fights the good dog all the time. When asked which dog wins, he reflected for a moment and replied, "The one I feed the most is the one that wins." My conscience. I listen to my conscience. Because we have this dual nature about us, our flesh and our spirit. We want to feed our spirit. We want to walk in our integrity. We want to listen to the voice of our conscience. Amen? Always let your conscience be your guide is really good advice. When I read the title of this, I immediately thought of Pinocchio. Jiminy Cricket told Pinocchio, if he needed any help, give a little whistle, and always let your conscience be your guide. Wow. That was good advice way back then. To let your conscience be your guide is important. Dr. Martin Luther King, he has a couple of quotes in his Bible study. On some positions, cowardice asks the question, is it safe? Expediency asks the question, is it politic? And vanity comes along and asks the question, is it popular? But conscience asks the question, is it right? Brother Jack Cunningham wrote this Bible study, and he says, I told the church recently, after 40 years of full-time ministry, I have concluded that the strong Christians have a strong conscience, and weak Christians have a weak conscience. Having a good conscience toward God and listening to following that conscience is what often determines the success or failure of our walk with God. Amen? Excuse me. Our weather is changing. 1 Timothy 1:19, when the Amplified Version says, holding fast to faith, that leading of the entire human personality on God in absolute trust and confidence and having a good and clear conscience. By rejecting and thrusting them from them, their conscience, some individuals have made shipwreck of their faith. Another version says, by rejecting conscience, some have made shipwreck of their faith. Four principles for maintaining a good conscience. Now, this is some practical instructions. I hope you will take these to heart. We keep our conscience clear by trusting our faith in God more than anything else. And because of our faith in God, we always try to do what we know is right. Right? Having faith in God. Number two, as we walk with God, he will speak to us through our conscience, letting us know the difference between right and wrong. So how many of you noticed that one of the changes that came over you after you were repentant and were baptized in Jesus' name, filled with the Holy Ghost? You were walking with God for a little while, and you noticed some different changes in yourself. Yeah. One of them, you start thanking God. Every little thing matters. Every little good thing matters. You turn into a thank you Jesus person. We are thanking Jesus for everything. And then that second thing we notice, we are more conscientious of what we say and what we do. You might not believe this. I was in the Navy. I talked like a sailor. As the saying goes, I cursed like a sailor. People don't believe me. But it's only by the grace of God that gave me a conscience about what I say, how it affects people, how my walk with God is something that I should do circumspectly. It is very important to listen to your conscience. It will change you. It's one of the things that you notice a change. You notice the change after you've been with saved and walking with God. That voice maybe is a little louder. It's a little clearer. And continuing to walk with Him, you learn more and more things that are important to your life and worth listening to, and listening to the voice of God. So many people struggle with, well, if God is talking to you, what does He say? Or how do I know it's His voice or not? Please get in the habit of listening to your conscience, please, on a regular basis, and you will know it's His voice. It will be very distinguishable. Amen? Number three, each time we deliberately ignore our conscience, we are hardening our heart, and over a period of time, our capacity to tell right from wrong diminishes. That's another strong warning there. Number four, act on those inner conscience tugs so that we do what is right, and so far that our conscience remains clear. Amen? 1 Timothy 3:9 says, holding the mystery of faith in a pure conscience. George Washington said, labor to keep alive in your breast that little spark of celestial fire called conscience. Amen. George Washington. The author Thomas Merton wrote, conscience is the light by which we interpret the will of God in our own lives. Wow. That's deep. In Hebrews 3:18, the Amplified Version, the Apostle Paul gives us a four-part biblical definition of a good conscience. Keep praying for us, for we are convinced that we have a good conscience that, one, we want to walk uprightly, and two, and live a noble life, three, acting honorably, and four, in complete honesty in all things. We walk uprightly or in integrity. We live a noble life, doing what is right, acting honorably, and in complete honesty in all things. The cashier gave you back too much change. You found someone's wallet. Someone left their car door open. Those things, though, you are in those situations for a very good reason. Please listen to your conscience in those situations. Amen? There are children present. There are women and children present. There's certain things we don't do or say around children. Amen? Amen? Our conscience will tell you that. Just being in this building sometimes. Is it just me? Anybody ever been here when this building is empty? does it have a certain... You have a certain feeling that comes over you. You'll pick up paper. You'll pick up something off the floor. You'll pick up something you see in the seats. You'll straighten something up. I still won't bring a drink in here. No matter if it's real hot outside, I won't come in here and drink something. I'm sorry, I won't do it. I'll come in here, I'll start praying. Or I'll singing to Jesus. It's just an empty big room. But my conscience, I don't know, it kicks in. There's a voice through my conscience to say and do what is right, even in an empty church. And I hope to never lose that. Amen. Anybody else?
Amen.
Amen. Repentance. John Doane, the author of The Christian Reader, says, admonish all believers, sleep with clean hands. He says, all believers sleep with clean hands, either kept clean all day by integrity or washed clean at night by repentance. Amen. Amen. You know, a friend of mine once told me, it's nothing like having a job to help bring some type of order to your life. You know, especially after you've been unemployed for a while. Now you got a job, you got some place to go. But you also have a place where you can listen to your conscience. Some of the best workers, you probably know some of them, or you probably are one of them, work according to their conscience. They're going to do what's right no matter what. If the boss is watching, if the boss is there or not, they're going to do their jobs. You're going to do your job. That's listening to your conscience. That job is a place where we can do that. Walk in integrity. But if not, if you should slip up at night before we all go to bed, I'm sure we repent and pray at night. Or we intentionally pray to meet with God and pray at that time and repent. Amen? It's very important. Our conscience, a guilty conscience, something that pings our conscience, should drive you to the knees in prayer and repent. Amen?
Amen.
The writer of the Acts of the Apostles gave clear instructions to people desiring to be followers of Christ. In Acts 3:19, repent ye therefore and be converted that your sins may be blotted out. Our English word repentance comes from the Greek word metanoia, which means to think differently, to reconsider, to feel compunction. So when we repent, we change the way we think about sin. We consider and change our priorities. We feel compunction or uneasiness or conviction or guilt because we have displeased God. We change our mind about sin. I remember thinking when I heard the word sin, my first thought was, well, everybody sins. Everybody sins. But when I was convicted by God, amen, you get to the point where I don't want anything to do with it. It makes me lose my appetite. It makes me lose my sleep, and I really like my sleep. I really like my naps. But yeah, I can't if I'm guilty, if I have a guilty conscience. True repentance is a change of mind that leads to a change of heart that leads to a change in actions. I'll say that again. True repentance is a change of mind that leads to a change of heart that leads to a change in actions. This change involves both a turning from sin and turning to God. It has been said true repentance is to be sorry enough to quit doing wrong. The psalmist knew well the mercy of God upon those who genuinely repent. In Psalms 34:18, he wrote from his own experience, the Lord is nigh to them that are broken in heart and saveth such as to be of a contrite spirit. Amen. The sacrifice acceptable to God is a broken and contrite spirit. Amen. Again, it is our conscience that drives us to repentance. God in his kindness, he will send his preacher to preach to us. God in his kindness, in his spirit, convicts us of sin. To have that ping in our conscience, and we repent and turn from sin. Have anybody ever made a mistake you only made once? I only did that one thing. I only did that wrong thing once. Some mistake you're only going to make one time. Especially those ones that may hurt you or seriously hurt someone else, and you never did it again. Your conscience has something to do with that. We cannot serve God and the world. We cannot serve God and hold on to lifestyles and old habits. More people have failed God because they do not cut off the old relationships and old habits. Your conscience warns you of these things. Your conscience is a gift from God, part of the way he made us, that he can get a hold of us, that he can speak to us as a father to his children. Walking away from old habits, environments, and people who tear down our walk with God is essential if we are to be saved and to stay saved. Then remember, this Bible study is to help someone to continue to live for God. We want to continue to live for God. That means we want to stay saved. Listening to our conscience, it's listening to your individual conscience, me listening to my individual conscience, is essential in that endeavor. Amen? Amen. If God delivered you from drinking, then stay away from drunks and places where alcohol is served. If God delivered you from drugs, separate yourself from addicts and the drug atmosphere. If God delivered you from sexual sins, guard what you read, what you watch, and who you associate with. Okay. Amen. A friend of mine, he had a job before he got his own business. He was a Christian, but before he got his own business, he worked at another place. He worked for a company. And every time he got into the truck with this particular coworker, the coworker wanted to tell him some type of dirty joke. And he would get into the truck, and the coworker would start in, and he would go, "I'm saved! I'm saved! I've been saved! Jesus saved me!" He started, but check this one out. "I'm saved! I've been saved." His conscience would kick in. And he wanted nothing to do with that. And eventually, he got his own business and he got his own truck. Would you stand with me for this last little bit, please? Tune in to your conscience. Verses that underscore the reason why and the blessings attached to having a good conscience. 1 Peter 3:16 in the Amplified Version. "And see to it that your conscience is entirely clear or unimpaired, so that when you are falsely accused as evildoers, those who threaten you abusively and revile your right behavior in Christ may come to be ashamed of slandering your good lives." There's a difference there. You are going to be walking in your integrity and doing what is right, and there are still going to be people slandering you. That just may happen to you. But God can convict them through that. Amen? I imagine that friend who got told that my friend was saved, that he was so saved, I imagine he got convicted one day somewhere. You might hear his testimony one day. 1 John 3:21 in the Amplified Version says, "And beloved, if our conscience or our heart do not accuse us, If they do, make us feel guilty and condemn. If they do not make us feel guilty and condemn, we have a confidence before God. In other words, if your conscience does not condemn you, if you have a clear conscience, you can have a confidence before God. We want to draw near to Him, to the throne of grace with boldness. Amen. That we may find mercy and grace in a time of need. Amen. Let's do that right now. Would you pray with me? Lord Jesus, we thank you tonight, O Lord. We thank you, Jesus, for saving us, O God. We thank you, Jesus, for baptizing us in your name, Lord, that we may identify with you, O God. Identify with your death, and that we may have a good conscience toward you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Lord, that we ask you tonight, O Lord Jesus, to help us and our friends, O Lord Jesus, to let our conscience be our guide, Lord. Help us, O Lord. Help my friend, O Lord Jesus, to come to know who you are, Jesus. Help us, O Lord Jesus, to walk circumspectly in our integrity, O Lord, as lights in this world, Jesus, that people may see our good works and give glory to you, God. Help us always, O Lord Jesus, to have a clear and healthy and strong conscience, O Lord Jesus. Hear our prayers each night, O Lord Jesus, as we repent, O Lord Jesus, of wrongdoing. Forgive us, O Lord Jesus, of our sins, that we may walk, O Lord Jesus, in your light and in truth, that we may worship you, Jesus, in spirit and in truth. Lord, we give you all the praise and all the glory, God, for all that you've done for us. We give you glory, God. We praise your name. We lift you up this day for creating us in such a way that we can hear your voice. You created us in such a way that we may walk circumspectly in this world, God. For making us in such a way and saving us, O Lord, giving us your spirit that we may walk circumspectly, God, that we may walk in our integrity because of you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we ask you to go with us this night, O Lord Jesus, to our homes and on our job, O Lord Jesus, focused on you and all that you've done with us. All these things we pray in your name, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Well, we're done a little bit early tonight. Please, there is an elements class going on with Brother Darren, and we want you to please keep it quiet while they're in class. But God bless you. Thank you for listening. You are dismissed in Jesus' name.